السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i-kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa. The verse of the Quran Sharif which I have recited, outwardly it seems to have got no connection with Shab-e-Barat. But in many, many of my talks I recite this ayat because it covers every aspect of Islam. Whichever way you look at it, because in this ayat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, O ye believers, enter into the fold of Islam completely. Don't let be some portion of yours in Islam and other portion out of Islam. Some part of our life in Islam and another part of our life out of Islam. Some aspects of our culture Islamic and other aspects of our culture totally un-Islamic. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, enter into the fold of Islam completely and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan does not mean that now we will look on the ground, can we see footsteps of shaitan, and then we don't follow that. There won't be any outward footsteps that we will see. What it means is that those whisperings of shaitan or those temptations from shaitan in our nafs, then we should not follow those evil desires and evil passions. We should obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaitan is cursed and rejected. He refused to bow down before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because that sajda was not just placing the forehead on the ground. The sajda meant complete submission before the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And shaitan refused out of pride and arrogance. Because he said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. Adam, you created out of earth and you created me out of fire. The flames of fire rise high, so Adam should have been making sajda to me. So because of this pride, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rejected him. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now warns us that he is an enemy to you, so you don't follow him. You obey Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enter into the fold of Islam completely. So entering into the fold of Islam completely, everything comes in. Everything is included. It's inclusive package. Everything is included. Even these nights, which are blessed nights of the year, they are also included in that. That a person who is a Muslim, a person who is a believer in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will look into the hadith sharif of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam about the virtues of these Mubarak nights. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, if he says that this Mubarak night, these are the virtues, then this person who is a believer, he will enter into the fold of Islam completely, will mean that after that he will appreciate that night, he will value that night. And he will not obey shaitan and nafs, engaging or indulging in any kind of haram or anything that is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one was more truthful than Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no one was more loving of the ummah than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nobody was more concerned for the ummah than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has informed that these are the virtues of these Mubarak nights. So the person now, he will appreciate this night and he will try and spend as much of that night in ibadat as possible, finding out from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again that how did he spend that night. So there are many, many hadiths with regards to Laylatul Barat. There could be some discussion amongst the muhaddiseen with regards to the authenticity or with regards to the some of the narrators with regards to certain hadiths. But if you had to look at all of them as a whole, then there is no doubt in the fact that it is a blessed night, it is a great night, it is a Mubarak night, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself engaged himself in ibadat on this particular night. Practically the whole night he spent in ibadat. So I will not go into the details again of this Mubarak night, because it is a lesson which you already know. But when the examination time comes, then we say revision of lessons. So at present it's examination times everywhere. So we too will revise our lesson, because we have to prepare also for an examination that is going to come. A very, very important examination of our lives. An examination which will determine whether we go into Jannat or whether we go into Jahannam. An examination which will not just for some certificate of this world, not even knowing that how long will that person be able to be in that profession after getting that qualification. Even if a person has to pass with flying colors and he gets the best aggregate, but he too does not know after receiving that certificate how long will he be in this world able to operate that practice of his, or how long will he be able to be in that profession, or how long will this qualification and degree be of benefit to him in this world. There are so many people, just last year, 3 students qualified, graduated, they came to the university. After the graduation day, they were returning, and in an accident all 3 passed away. They were not even allowed to practice one day. All the studies of those years that went by, they took it with them to the grave. That is our condition. But this examination which we have to prepare for, and that is that examination of the hereafter, that examination is such that it will be determining whether we go forever and ever into Jannat or forever and ever into hell. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put all of us into Jannat without any reckoning. And it is hoped, when a person makes an effort in the correct direction, then he must have hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that inshallah Allah ta'ala will enter him into Jannat. We must not fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab so much that it makes us lose our courage and strength. The fear of Allah ta'ala's azab must be to that extent that it keeps us away from sins. That is all. It is not even intended that we should be all the time just thinking of the azab of Jahannam and then doing nothing. The azab of Jahannam, or the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab, must be to that extent that whenever the desire comes in the nafs to do something that is haram, then this person restrains himself, fearing that punishment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So brothers, this night of Bara'at, there are so many hadiths and so many virtues. But if you have to just analyze, or just take a few at random, here and there, some of the points that have been mentioned in those hadiths, we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in the month of Shawan, he is to fast considerably. Besides the fast of Ramadan, the greatest amount of fast Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to keep was in the month of Shaban. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared, Shaban wa shahri wa Ramadan wa shahrullah. That Shaban is my month and Ramadan is the month of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now this does not mean that some month is of someone and some month is of someone else. Everything belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But how if a father has 2-3 children and one child is very obedient and very dear, because that child is very obedient, the other 2 are disobedient, they don't even visit the parents, then this father says, this is my child, this is my child. So it does not mean that those 2 are not his children, they are still his children. But showing great attachment and great love, the parent sometimes says that this is my child. In the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is showing great attachment to this month of Shaban. He says, Shaban or Shahri, Shaban is my month. Now, if we have got love for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what should be our attitude towards this month of Shaban? All of us who sing the praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and we scream at the top of our voices that we are ashiks of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then can an ashik of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever be in a cinema or a theater or a gambling den or in fornication or adultery or watching some filthy porn movie in this month of Shaban? Or in any part of his life, but especially in this month of Shaban, because he says he's got ishq of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Shaban or Shahri, Shaban is my month. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam showed his love for this month by keeping tremendous amount of fast in this month. Of course, it is no status symbol to keep plenty of fast and then continue committing haram. Many people keep lots of nafil rozas, but when it comes to the real farais and wajibat, then they become very, very negligent. They rather keep less rozas, but stay away from haram. I'm talking about nafil. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this month of Shaban, he used to fast considerably. One time when he was questioned, he said, this is the month in which the book of deeds are presented to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And I desire that when my book is presented to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I am from the fasting people. I'm just giving you the gist of those hadiths. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's desire was that he should be of the fasting people when that book of deeds is closed and the other one is opened. For every year this is what happens. Now according to the majority, this is the night in which this takes place. That the books of deeds for the past year are closed at the time of Maghrib, that book is closed. A new file is opened, a new chapter is opened in this person's life. And that is presented to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which does not mean that Allah ta'ala did not know what happened throughout the year. Now when this book is presented to him, then only he will come to know. We must not misunderstand these hadiths. Allah ta'ala knows everything. But it is a system that these books will be now kept. And all business people know that sometimes the manager knows exactly, the director knows exactly what is coming, what is going, but end of the year he still says, prepare a balance sheet. So these things will then be kept for the day of Qiyamah. So the new book is opened. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam desired that it be opened with fast. But if we cannot fast, then at least with some zikr, with some tilawat, with some ibadat. And most of you, alhamdulillah, you have been here since before Maghrib. You perform the Maghrib Salat with Jamaat, and after the Maghrib Salat, you engage in some zikr, some ibadat, some tilawat. So all that is opening of the new book with some good deeds, which is a blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because knowing fully well that it's the month of Shaban, and knowing fully well that it is the 15th of Shaban, all you have to do is go now into the streets of the cities of the world and go and look at the conditions of Muslims, and you know where you will find them, the majority of them. The number that come to the masjid is hardly a percentage. So we know how they open their books of deeds. So we must make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he blessed us with this opportunity. Then again we learn from the hadiths with regards to Shaban and especially Shab-e-Barat that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion he made a very lengthy sajda. Very lengthy sajda. So much so that his beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she thought that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. So she touched his feet to see whether Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was still alive. So she realized that he is still alive. After he had completed his namaz, his sajda, then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha told Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what had happened. And I heard you reciting in that sajda a dua. A'udhu bi'afwika min iqabik. A'udhu bi'afwika min iqabik. O Allah, I seek protection in your forgiveness from your wrath. Ya Allah, I'm seeking forgiveness in your protection. I seek protection in your forgiveness from your wrath. That means I'm too afraid of your wrath descending upon me. Therefore, I'm asking you to protect me with your af and with your karam and with your ihsan. And who is asking this dua? That is what we must understand. It is not a sinner like us, na'uzu billahi min zalik, with mountains of sins and oceans of sins. It is a masoom, sinless Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who had nothing to fear in the akhirat, knowing fully well that not a single ummati can enter Jannat without his shafaat. But he is saying, O Allah, I fear your wrath. So give me protection in your af. Wa'uzu bi radaka min sakhatik. And O Allah, I seek protection in your pleasure from your displeasure. This is such a serious thing in the eye of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah ta'ala must not become displeased with me. Knowing fully well that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cannot become displeased with his Rasul. And that too with Rasul who is Khatamun Nabiyyin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, and the one for whom Allah ta'ala created the whole universe. But he is saying, O Allah, give me protection in your radha, in your pleasure, from your displeasure, from your anger. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, A'udhu bika minka. And O Allah, I seek protection in you from you. What does that mean? That, oh Allah, on the one hand is your mercy, your kindness, your forgiveness, your compassion. So cover me up in all those aspects. Don't let your wrath, your anger, your displeasure and your azab come upon me in any form. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Jalla wajhu, glory be to you, O Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. La uhsi sana'an alayk anta kama asnayta ala nafsik. It is impossible for me to praise you and glorify you, O my Allah. Your shan is so great that it's impossible for me to glorify you. You are as you have praised yourself. It is only permissible for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to praise himself. It is not permissible for anybody else to praise himself. Yes, a person out of ihsan of Allah ta'ala which is on him. So out of shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he can say, with the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the grace of Allah ta'ala, with the mercy of Allah ta'ala, with the kindness of Allah ta'ala, with the generosity of Allah ta'ala, I have been able to achieve this or achieve that, or make this ibadat or do that ibadat. So we cannot really do justice to the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How can we do justice? It's impossible. Look at the entire universe. Look at the world. Look at the globe. Look at the sun, the moon and the stars. Ask those doctors who are operating every day on patients. What kind of qudrat of Allah ta'ala they see in the patient's bodies. The heart, the liver, the lung. Look at the intricate system that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got. Which mother, which father can ever provide eyes and ears and nose and everything to the baby in the stomach? The mother doesn't even know what is happening in the stomach. There was one person, he had just one eye. He had just one eye. And he was an atheist. In the time of the British, he was a school inspector. So he went to one of the schools where there were a large number of Muslim pupils in that school. And he began to speak in derogatory terms of Allah Ta'ala. So one of the students there said that, but Allah Ta'ala does exist, he is living, he is all powerful, almighty, all seeing, all hearing, whatever he said. So this person, because he had only one eye, so he told that student, he said that if there is someone like Allah, and you say it is Allah who gave us eyes, so then tell that Allah to give me the other eye. Now what a difficult question. He tells that young boy in that school, that if you say that you believe in an Allah, and he is the one who provided the two eyes in the mother's stomach, so then tell him to return this eye of mine. So the teacher was a Muslim teacher there. He told the inspector that you don't ask these type of questions to these little children. Ask me, I will give you a reply. But before I give you a reply, I want to know that who is the one that gave you your two eyes? So the inspector said, my mother. And then the inspector asked him, who gave you your two eyes? He says, my Allah. So he said, all right, then tell that Allah now that if he is the one that gives eyes, then he must give me the other eye. So this ustad, he looked up to the heavens, to the skies for a little while, and then he lowered his head, and then he said that I spoke to my Allah, and my Allah said that I would have given him the other eye, but he says that his mother gave him the two eyes, so tell him to go to his mother and tell her to give him the other eye. What reply could he have had for such an... So it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who provides. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this manner he was going on making this dua. So when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned this to him, Nabi Paak s.a.w. said, O Aisha, learn it, read it, and teach it to others. Learn it, read it, and teach it also to others. Showing what a kind of dua it was. So this is another thing that we find in those traditions. But to cut it short, let's get to another hadith in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then, of course, informed Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that this was the night of Barat. It's the 15th night of Shaban. And in this night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives more people. In one of the hadiths, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions more people than even the number of hay on the cattle or goats of the Bani Kalb tribe, or the fiber on the sheep of the Bani Kalb tribe. Now the Bani Kalb tribe was well known to have large number of sheep and cattle and goats. So he said that Allah Ta'ala forgives even more people than that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion was found in the Qabristan. Again, it's a lengthy hadith, but I just want to give you the gist of it. Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam was found in the Qabristan making dua in this particular night, the 15th night of Shaban. Again, giving us a lesson that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he dearly loved going to the Qabristan. It was his habit to go to the Qabristan, especially on a Friday. And on other occasions, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to the Qabristan, to the graveyard. And he encouraged the ummah to go there so that they may take a lesson from those graves that are there. The silence of the grave may give them a lesson. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was making dua there in Jannatul Baqi for the people who were buried there. Allahumma ighfir li ahli jannat li ahli al-baqi. This Baqi, Jannatul Baqi, is the graveyard of Medina Sharif. All of us know that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for them. How fortunate those people were. How fortunate those people are who are buried in Jannatul Baqi, that they are the recipients of the du'as of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We do not know how many sahabas are buried there. Over 10,000 sahabas, they say, are buried there. And so many awliya and so many siddiqeen are buried there. The wives of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam are buried there. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi children are buried there. Shuhada are buried there. Now when the winds of rahmat blow there, then you think, will anybody be left there in between, unforgiven? Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, I think it was, somebody questioned him, said that why is it that people look forward to burial next to some pious person in a graveyard? So he did not give him any reply at that time. After some time they came to the masjid, and it was very hot. Now in the masjid in those days, they didn't have fans like this. They used to have those hand fans. So he requested that same person to fan him, because it was very hot. He says, but on one condition only, that when you are fanning me, the breeze must not affect anyone but me. When you are fanning me, then the breeze must not touch anybody else's face but mine. Now is that possible? If I say, put this fan on, but it must be only on my, touching my body, it's impossible. So he said, that's the reply to your question, that when the winds of rahmat and forgiveness blow over those graves, then the people who are on either side also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives them. That is the reason why people desired burial in Jannatul Baqi. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what was his dua? Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik. Oh my Allah, give me shahadat in your path, and give me burial way or death way in Madina Tayyiba, in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now these two things could not be reconciled at that time, that Madina Tayyiba had now become the city of the Muslims, and what kind of shahadat was he asking for there and burial there. So the desire of everybody to be buried there is for this reason. Nevertheless, the subject is that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Jannatul Baqi. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha thought that Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone to visit one of his other wives, whereas it was her turn. So when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Aisha, do you think that the Prophet of Allah would have done injustice to you? Which again warns us that if a person has more than one wife, then how important justice is, which is the very, very difficult thing, very, very difficult. Therefore, my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, he repeatedly says, apni ek layla par razi raho. Apni ek layla par razi raho. Ye dunya ko station ki chai samaj lo. That when you are on the move, then you drink any kind of tea on the station platform. You are not particular that my tea must be brewed in this fashion and that manner and all that. You drink it and you carry on, because you are just there for a little while. He says, if you want to attach your heart to your Mawla, then you will not be able to do so when you are going to have too many Laylas. I personally, in my 30 years since I have returned after my studies, haven't come across one marriage, believe me, one marriage. I haven't come across one which is peaceful, happy, where the husband has got two wives or three wives in South Africa. I'm not saying it's haram, I'm not saying it's najais. If the Quran allows it, there are conditions. Islam is a practical religion, there are needs. A woman could just get married and she suffers from cancer, or she has a heart attack, or she is paralyzed. Now Islam will say that don't dump her, don't throw her away. But at the same time, Islam says you are not allowed to go to any mistress. It is totally haram and forbidden. And if you commit zina, then you will be stoned. So what should you do at such a time? Care for this woman too, and marry another woman too. There are certain times. But just for lust and passion, and then to use the name of Sharia, that Sharia says so, that is our condition. But if a person can do justice, or he is doing justice, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows best. But he will not be able to find that time. Therefore, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, a person once asked him, he said, that I have married two wives, now how many homes must I have? Can keep both of them in one home? He said, no, you must have three homes. He said, why must I have three when I've got two wives? He said, because when you fight with the two, then you can go and rest in the third home. But as I said, that there are needs. Sometimes a person has to marry. So if he marries, then justice is extremely important. Sometimes people wonder why these mashayikh and these buzruks, they have so much of attachment to their wives. Because those wives are a protection from haram for them. That is what they appreciate. Those wives are a protection because they don't cast their gazes at every woman on the street and on the television screen. And the major cause, believe me, of fights and quarrels and disputes between husbands and wives today is because the husband is casting his gaze at every woman that he finds on the streets and in his shop and in his complexes, and desires, creates all kinds of desires in his heart. And in the meantime, his wife is watching all the filth on the television screen, and she is admiring all those film actors. Now how can there be muhabbat between such husband and wife? She has spoiled her gaze and her heart, and the husband has spoiled his gaze and his heart. So those women who complain telephoning and saying, my husband is doing this and husband is doing that, then I tell them that what about your life? Have you checked your life also? Your husband may be doing those things, and indeed he is blameworthy if he is doing that. But at the same time, check your life. How much are you admiring those film actors on the television screen? Those women who try to make their islah and they are writing letters, I don't mention any names. I mention very, very clearly that if any story comes out from anywhere, it's from their family or they must have told somebody. I will say something very, very indirectly or general. But there are many women who, after commencing the islahi program, they have written to me, Maulana, during my days, they call it days of jahiliyyah, days of ignorance, days of sin, days of fisk. They say, during those days I used to watch the television, I used to watch movies, and my heart was snatched away by a certain film actor. One woman writes that Pakistani cricketers, when they came here, two of them, their pictures have stuck to my heart in such a way that I still can't get them off. So they are doing that on the one side, and the husbands are doing something else on the other side. And then they say, Maulana, can you give some taweez? This taweez has become a big joke today. I'm not saying taweez does not have an effect. Taweezes have effect. Allah Ta'ala has kept effect in everything. But if we believe that taweezes will ward away all our problems, just stick a few taweezes around our houses and finish, there'll be unity between husband and wife and children and parents, and all the balas, alas, will go away, then we are mistaken. When the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala comes, no taweez in the world can ward it away. So Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was not going to do any injustice to you. But this was the 15th night of Shaban, and then he gave her the virtues of that night. If we look at some other hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasool-e-Pak has warned that although it's a Mubarak night, it is a night in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives such large numbers. But there are certain categories of people whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not even forgive in this Mubarak night. Now if we have to take each category and speak on each one, we can speak the whole night. But just to give you a few points, because these things are known to you, it is just to revise our lesson. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the person who is worshipping or associating partners with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which we term as shirk. In the sifats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if he connects somebody else, associates somebody else, then it is shirk. Now we say that we do not worship the idols like certain idol worshippers. Indeed, we don't worship in that manner. But how many of us really believe Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to be Razzaq? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to be our sustainer and provider? Allah be the one who is giving us life and is the one who will give us death. How many of us really believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's sifats of Alim and Khabir and Sami, etc.? Or do we associate others also in the same thing? Just by the way, I would like to mention this because it is necessary that we should be educated. That we are not saying that it is haram. In fact, it is very highly recommended that we should go to the mazars of the Awliya-i-Kiram. The mazars of the Awliya-i-Kiram, we believe that Awliya-i-Kiram, they are receiving the rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in their mazars. So it is recommended that we should visit the mazars of the Awliya-i-Kiram, provided they were true Awliya-i-Kiram. But then what should we do there? We should read and send the sawab to them as a gift. And thereafter pray to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that, O Allah, with the blessings of the good deeds of this great wali of yours who lies buried here in this grave, I seek from you good health, long life, peace, happiness, protection. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. This is the method of going about it. It's a misunderstanding. Some people say that you are prohibited or prevented from going. Nobody prevents. But if we believe that we get directly from them, that they will give us life, they will give us health, they will give us this and that, then that is what we mean by associating in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's sifats. Otherwise, seek in this manner that, O Allah, this wali that lies buried here, how much of good deeds he did during his lifetime. He did not disobey you. He was always obedient to you. He has got a stock of good deeds. And he is your friend. He is your wali. So with the blessings of his good deeds, I seek from you, O my Allah, that you bless me with this, bless me with that, bless me with that. So Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of that categories that he has mentioned is this categories of people who are committing shirk. The second category that Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned is those people who are disobedient to their parents. The disobedience of parents is such a sin, it is such a crime in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that other sins, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sometimes delays the punishment. But when it comes to disobedience to parents, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala punishes the person very, very quickly. And also when it comes to rewards, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives rewards for obedience to parents very quickly, even in this world. Blesses the person with long life, blesses him with barakat in his sustenance, and so many other blessings are given. Why? Because our coming into this world, they became the means. Brothers, we will not appreciate our parents until we have children, especially daughters. And when these daughters will be bringing up their children, 3, 4 children, 5, 6 children, and when we see our daughters spending whole nights sometimes, because 3 children have got diarrhea, someone has got stomachache, someone has got headache, someone is sick and ill, washing this person, changing that one, then at that time we appreciate what our mothers must have gone through. If we have to discuss this subject, it will make our hair stand on end, that how people are making football of their parents these days. Just because we've got some strength in our bodies, and when we become young and fit and healthy, that's the time the parents begin to get old and weak. Rasool-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one Sahabi asked him, that who is the one deserving most my khidmat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ummuk, your mother. So thereafter he said, your mother. So thereafter he said, your mother. So thereafter he said, your father. Three times he said, your mother. One sahabi reported to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about carrying his mother on his back and making tawaf and doing the umrah and all the other things that khidmat that he made, and believing that now he had done justice. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that pang of pain which your mother felt when she gave birth to you, you haven't even fulfilled the right of that as yet. So obedience to parents is a very important thing. It is written in the books of an incident of a person who was drinking. He returned late one big night, it was Mubarak night, and he returned late drunk. So his mother told him that even in this Mubarak night you are drinking, look at your condition, why don't you give up drinking? So the son replied, why do you go on braying like a donkey? When he died, every day after Asr, three times the braying of an ass is heard from that grave of his, until the awliya of the time prayed and made dua, and then it silenced. Now and again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows it. In the newspapers of Karachi, I read myself, six people who had killed their parents. Six incidents were reported during the course of that month, or just the 2-3 months, of children who killed their parents. And in our country also, there is no shortage of these type of incidents where parents are booted out of the home, they are rejected, they are thrown around like a football, but then these people suffer all their lives. So on the one hand, there is definitely a great amount of responsibility on the children to obey their parents, especially when they are turning old. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. How beautifully Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, when they both of them or one of them reach old age, they do not even say oof, meaning don't even say something that will hurt their feelings, because they are getting old now. There is no time to go into the detailed explanation. Allah Ta'ala is even teaching how to make dua for them. That just as they nurtured me, they caused me to grow up, they cared for me, they looked after me, they took care of my upbringing. Oh Allah, now you take care of them. So that is on the one hand. But on the other hand, the duty of the parents. Because if the parents do not give their children that kind of education which will make them appreciate those parents, then you don't blame those children, you blame the parents. One father came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and complained of his son. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala called the son. The son asked Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala that my father got a lot of rights over me, but do I also have rights over him? He said, yes, you also have rights over him. Your right over him is that first of all he must choose a good mother. That means the wife that he had chosen, the woman that he has chosen as his life partner. He should have chosen a good mother, a good wife, a good woman. Then he must give you a good name, and then he must teach you akhlaq, manners, adab, etiquette. He says, oh Amirul Mumineen, the woman that my father chose was a woman of ill repute. The name that he gave me is an absolutely filthy name. And when it comes to akhlaq, adab, etiquette, muasharat, Islam, he didn't teach me anything. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala took the whip, and before he could beat him up, he said, you get away from here before I give you a hiding. He told the father. So it is a responsibility of the parents also to provide the right environment for the children. We are concerned sometimes of our own ibadah, zikr, tilawat, sometimes. Otherwise, parents also are unconcerned. They want freedom from their children because they want to indulge in their own activities. They want to go to their own haram ways. So therefore they leave the children to go their way. The father cannot tell the child today that how, why did you go to that filthy, dirty place, because the father himself was there the other day. The father cannot tell the son that how can you be committing adultery and fornication, because the father was there, was doing the same thing. Now these are the type of incidents we are getting. And the sons tell us clearly that this is what my father is doing, this is what my mother is doing. Now at such a time, who do you blame? But even then, if the parents haven't given this person what was his due, then too it is this child's duty that he should take care of his parents. He should be good to them, kind to them. Now this is where the pul sirat comes for married people. And I have no fear in saying these things, although every time that I mention this, I will get a few calls from here and there saying that, Maulana, you shouldn't have mentioned these things. So I am not here to mention things which suit everybody. We will never be able to please everybody. That is why I say the ihsan of Allah Ta'ala is so great upon us, that Allah Ta'ala said, please me. Just one Allah we have to please. How simple and easy. If we have to worry about pleasing everybody, we will never be able to do justice. Like that husband, wife and child were going from through villages and they had just one horse. So the husband said that, first I will ride the horse, you two walk. So the people said, look at this person, what kind of a zalim he is, that he is riding the horse and making his wife and child walk. So then he told his wife, alright, you get on the horse and I and the child, we will walk. So now the people started saying that, look at this person, he looks like a murid of his wife. Put his wife on the horse and dragging it along. So he must have become bayat to his wife, looks like. So now he felt embarrassed, he told her, okay, you get down too. Or let us all three of us get onto the horse. So when all three of them got onto the horse, they said, now look at these zalims. One horse and three people on the horse. So again he felt embarrassed. He said, well, what can we do now? Let three of us get down and drag the horse along. So now they say, look at these stupid, foolish people. They got a horse, but now they're dragging it along. Can't somebody ride on the horse? So if we are going to try and please everybody, we will not get anywhere. Let us please one Allah and we will get Allah. And when we will get Allah, we will get kingdoms of Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. Allah Ta'ala will give us such kingdoms in our hearts that what are the kingdoms of this world? I say all these material things, Allah has given it to us, make use of it. But treat them like toys, brothers, treat them like toys. What is this, suddenly very proud of the car that I have? I am proud of the home that I have. I am proud of the wealth that I have. All these things are like the castle that the children build on the sand. One child says that I've got a castle with so many rooms. The other one says I've got such a big castle. The third one says I've got bigger than yours. And then another naughty one comes and jumps over all the castles and they all start crying that he destroyed my castle. And we laugh at those children. That is our condition, that we have given our hearts to these material things. So don't give hearts, use it. So I am saying this pul sirat comes because on the one hand the son listens to the rights of the father and mother. And now he tells the wife that, look, my father and mother have got great rights over me. So therefore you are now my slave and a slave of my father and mother, and therefore you have to do everything now for them and don't say anything to them. And day and night you must be at their service. Now Shariat and Islam told the son that you should go out of your way to make them comfortable and encourage your wife, if happily she does it, and she should try and do it because she is a daughter-in-law. She should also have love for them just as her own parents. In her own house she was doing cooking, baking, cleaning, sweeping. She was making khidmat of her own parents. So now that she has come here, she must try and make khidmat of these parents. And these parents must think that this is another daughter that has come into my house. I haven't brought a slave, I haven't brought a servant. Because when the woman wanted a daughter-in-law, then at that time they were going all over and giving big, big stories that when your daughter comes into my house, she will be my daughter. I will teach her. If she doesn't know how to bake and cook or sweep or clean, don't worry, I will do everything. They give big, big stories. And once that daughter-in-law comes, now they find nothing but faults with the daughter-in-law all the time. Now when they are going to be finding faults with the daughter-in-law all the time, then that daughter-in-law will be finding faults with them all the time. Then there can never be peace and harmony in that home. But if the parents say that this is another daughter of ours, if she has got some weakness and shortcoming, then just as we would like to cover up our daughter's shortcomings, if my daughter is married to someone and she has got some shortcoming, would I like that my son-in-law goes and brags everywhere or tells everybody what her shortcomings are? Or her parents must do that. Or his parents must do that. I wouldn't like it. I would like that they must cover the shortcomings of my daughter. So in the same way we say that this woman who has come into my house, she is my daughter. And therefore I must cover her shortcomings. If the woman goes about it that way, and in fact she tries to go out of her way to make that daughter-in-law comfortable, and that daughter-in-law then gets such love for that mother-in-law that she goes out of her way to make that mother-in-law comfortable, there will be no problem in that home at all. Believe me, there will be no problem. Years and years will go by, and you won't find one argument between those parents and between their daughter-in-law. In fact, they will miss each other. When one goes, they will miss each other. And in fact, many of them then, when they live in this manner, then they say that I am so happy that my mother-in-law is with, because when I want to go somewhere, then they take care of my children and they take care of all my other household responsibilities. But when will that happen? When the sons understand that it is not the obligation of that wife to be a slave to her, to his parents. If she is doing khidmat of the parents, he must congratulate her. He must give her some gifts. He must keep her happy. And he must tell her that what are the rewards. Because if she is doing that khidmat, then he is happy. And if he is happy, his parents are happy. And if his parents are happy, Allah Ta'ala is happy. So it works in that manner. But because this doesn't seem to happen nowadays, because it doesn't seem to happen nowadays, and the moment they come together, there is a problem. That is the reason that the mashayikh of our times, they say that it is better that if you can afford it, then from the time of marriage, live a little separately. So that they will be muhabbat, that when they come to your place to visit you, you are happy. When you go to visit them, they are happy. They cook and bring for you something. Sometimes you take and cook and give them. And when you get old, then that same son and daughter will say that now come and live with us. How long are you going to be living alone? It's a beautiful system, but we are not prepared to understand. We try to find faults in everything. We don't find faults in ourselves. So the rights of the parents is tremendous. But at the same time, Shariat has given others also rights. It must not be at the expense of others. We get complaints many a times. There must be exaggeration too. But like a daughter-in-law would say, for example, that I am tied down like a slave in this home. That every weekend, my husband, somebody, his sister is coming, his grandmother is coming, his father is coming, his brother is coming, somebody is coming. So the whole year round, I don't get a little opportunity also to go and visit my parents. Now is this adl or justice or this zulam? Would we like that our daughter-in-law be kept like that, our daughter be kept like that by the son-in-law? That he doesn't visit us the whole year round, just because one day his sister is coming, one day his grandmother is coming, one day his brother is coming. Every weekend somebody is coming to visit them. So just as we would like our daughter to come and visit us, in the same way we must also look forward to our wives to go and visit their mothers and their parents. That is how muhabbat builds up. There must be adl and justice in everything. Brothers, I'm speaking very, very openly and frankly, and as I said that I don't, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's ihsan is so much on me. Believe me, sometimes people speculate a lot of things. But sometimes I cannot help it but mention so that you do not have any kind of opinion that which might be harmful to you. Wallah, I can take a billion qasams in this masjid that I don't have my gaze and sight on any person's wealth. Alhamdulillah. There are two or three friends of mine who in the name of salary give me something. Otherwise, I don't take a salary from the madrasa, I don't take a salary from the masjid, and I don't take any payment for waaz and nasihats or any other service that I am doing. May Allah Ta'ala reward these few friends with the best of rewards in this world and the akhirat. But they have made it very, very clear that this is not a payment for madrasa salary or anything of that nature. It's only one or two of them, and you can use it as you wish. Even if you sleep the whole day for the whole year, we are not going to question you. Then only I accepted it. And this is coming down from the past 25 years. Otherwise, throughout that period, you can find out from the trustees here or anywhere else. So brothers, therefore I have no fear in saying these things. But it is for the benefit of the ummah. It is for the benefit of all who are here. It is for the benefit of myself. I would like to see each and everyone happy. I would like to see each and every person connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I would like to see each and every person connected with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want to see each and every person have in his heart that kind of ishq and love and muhabbat for Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they receive Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirat. That is my only concern and nothing else. So brothers, this is what we have to understand, that both have rights. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, those people who harbor jealousy, malice, envy in their hearts, even in this Mubarak night, unless they seek forgiveness, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not forgive them. Now there are so many disputes, quarrels, arguments between people. Now we must take a lesson from Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. Have a large heart and forgive. We don't know when that lamp of life will be extinguished. How many people regretted the rest of their lives because they didn't forgive their parents, didn't forgive their children, didn't forgive that sister, didn't forgive the mother-in-law, didn't forgive the sister-in-law. And then suddenly they heard that in the accident the person was gone. Then they said, I wish I had asked that person for maaf. So here is an opportunity that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Nabi Pak Sallam says, La tahasadu wa la taqat wa la tada. لا تحاسدوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تقاطعوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That don't have jealousy in your heart. Why should we be jealous and envious of what Allah Ta'ala has given to people? It is Allah Ta'ala's choice, whoever He desires, whatever He gives. If that person is using what Allah Ta'ala has given in the wrong places, then what is there to be jealous and envious about? If the person is buying hellfire for himself, must we be jealous and envious? And if that person is doing good deeds, is spending it correctly, then ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, just as you bless this person, bless me with it too. What shortage is there in Allah ta'ala's treasures? And as far as malice is concerned, that incident again comes to mind. Nabi Pak Sallam said that just now a person will pass by here who is a jannati, person of the heaven. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is that person? After a little while, one person passed. He had the shoe in his hand and wuzu water was dripping from his beard. The next day, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the same thing and the same person passed again. The third day, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the same thing and it was again the same person in the same condition he passed. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that I made an excuse to stay with him for 3 days to see that what is that good deed that this person is doing, that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that he is a jannati. So I saw that he didn't do anything really different from what the other sahabas were doing, because they slept in the same room. So he says, I only noticed that when he used to turn from right to left or left to right, he used to make some zikr of Allah subhanallah alhamdulillah, and I didn't hear him speak anything that was sinful. And he just got up normal Fajr time like others get up. In fact, so many of them stay awake the whole night. He didn't even stay awake the whole night. So I didn't find it anything really captivating. And I was wondering that what is it then that this person is doing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that he's a jannati. So I then mentioned it to him that these 3 days I made an excuse to stay with you because this is what I wanted to see. But I didn't find anything interesting. He said, well, there is one thing. Besides what you have seen, that's all I'm doing. I'm not doing anything very drastic. But there is one thing, that if Allah Ta'ala gives anybody anything, that I don't become jealous of it. He said, indeed, that is the thing which is difficult for us. Not to be jealous of what Allah Ta'ala gives to somebody else. Just the thought coming in the mind that is not haram. But immediately make dua for that person. MHDGP and ND42008 BMW and 000MHDGP. Please remove your cars immediately. So he says, well, that is the thing, that you have got no jealousy. That's why Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that you will go into Jannat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that jealousy burns up good deeds like how fire burns up dry wood. And there are so many hadiths on jealousy, envy, malice. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that those people who have got these things, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive them unless they seek, of course, sincere forgiveness. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also mentioned this category. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi said, those people who have broken off their family ties, then Allah Ta'ala will not forgive them unless they join those family ties. I have repeatedly mentioned this, that sometimes it happens that you are very close and very good to each other and living very happily. But some incident or the other breaks the person's heart, and now this person does not desire to keep that same kind of friendship that he had in the past. So that is permissible. If the person does not want to keep the same kind of friendship, it is permissible. But at least when you meet the person, you make salam, and behind his back, you don't make ghibat of him. Now and again, make dua for the person. And if there is a dispute regarding finance or anything else of that nature, then try and resolve it. But don't break up that family tie, that I will not see this person anymore, and I don't want him to attend my janaza salat also. I don't want him to come to the graveyard also. Now these type of things is not the shan of a Muslim. Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we all know the incident so well by now. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, slander campaign was taken against her. One of them that was involved in it was Mistah, who was one of her cousins. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu then swore an oath that I will not assist this person anymore, because he used to be assisting this person. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran Sharif. وَلَا يَأْتَ لِأُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Ha. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, let not those people whom Allah ta'ala has endowed with knowledge and with grace, they've got plenty of sustenance, they've got plenty of dignity and honor they enjoy in the society, to swear that we will not assist the relatives, the masakin, and those who are muhajir fi sabilillah. Overlook, forgive, overlook. But the most important thing is, ala tuhibbuna an yaghfira Allahu lakum. Don't you desire that Allah ta'ala should forgive you? So if we desire Allah ta'ala should forgive us, then we should do what Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. He says, not only have I forgiven him, but whatever I used to give him, I have increased that. He increased whatever he was giving him. So this is an opportune occasion for especially those people who find it difficult throughout the year, that they can pick up the telephone and say that all the year round it was difficult for me, but what is there if we say, all right, forgive me, I am at fault. I ask you for maaf and forgiveness. Ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive me too. That person, if that person doesn't forgive after that, then that person has bought problems for himself or herself. But this person Allah Ta'ala will become pleased with. This person has done his duty. There are so many other things. If we have to carry on, we'll go on another hour, and I do not want to do that. But there are other categories also that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned. But just to get quickly to one more point, which is very important, that according to some riwayats, this is the night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hands over to the angels those people who are going to be born in the coming year, those people who are going to die in the coming year, and all the other details. So much so that a person is planting trees in his garden, is planting flowers, but his name is written in the list of the dead. The person is planning to get married, sometimes he's even proposed, or he is on the day of marriage, but his name is written in the list of the dead. It could be one of the days, the day of his marriage, that before his nikah takes place, is gone. The person is doing this, is doing that, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that his name is in the list of the dead. That means already dead. Now brothers, this is the frightening area, that we all hear this every year. Last year, so many people, their names were written. And then, in front of our eyes, so many of them left the world suddenly. Many of them became shaheed. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala be pleased with them, and He will give them great stages. But for us, it is a great lesson that we do not know whether our name has been included tonight in that list which has been handed to the angels.
Yesaraye dehr musafiro bakhuda kisi ka maqam ka nahi,
ye sarae dehr musafiro ba khuda kisi ka makan nahi jo muqeem isme the kal yahan kahin aaj unka nishaan nahi. I explained in one of my majlises and talks that this is a timeshare. This world is like a timeshare. We say that in that block of flats or in that hotel, I have a timeshare, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month. Now, no matter how good the furniture there, no matter how good the facilities there, no matter how good the lounge, and no matter how beautiful the decoration, and how beautifully the air conditioner works on a hot day, but when the time comes to leave, this person has to leave. They will give him a notice that your time is up. You must now vacate. Somebody else will take your place. Our forefathers were here. They left. Their children took their place. They left. Their children took their place. Now we are here. Someday the angel of death will say that you too have to vacate. Your time is up. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Finish. Your time is up. You have to go.
یہ ایک قبر پہ بے کسی بزبان حال ہے کہہ رہی یہ ایک قبر پہ بے کسی بزبان حال ہے کہہ رہی تمہیں آنکھیں چاہیے غافلو مجھے احتیاج بیان نہیں.
He says the silence of the grave is giving you a message. Oh, you visitor to the grave, you need eyes, oh you stupid and foolish person, oh you negligent person. I don't have to give you any bayan and any speech and any talk. The silence of the grave is itself a great speech. The silence of the grave is a speech. So the grave is saying that you need eyes to see. This person was at one time world-class boxer, world-class cricketer, world-class footballer, world-class journalist. He was an industrialist. He was this, he was that. He was a great mufti, great qari, great alim. But see here now, everyone has turned to dust. So therefore, don't be negligent. Don't be neglectful. Death will strike anywhere. We don't know when, where, and how. Therefore, I repeatedly say that when you are tempted to commit sins, and brothers, this is what has made lots of people give up their sins. I've got letters in my possession, which I sometimes make so much of shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and I make dua that these people become a sadqa jariya for me, that they say that this is something that made us give it up, because repeatedly you mentioned that we do not know when the angel of death will strike, how he will strike, and where he will strike. So therefore, when we are tempted to go and commit adultery or fornication, immediately the thought comes that I could be just committing adultery, and that's the time my heart attack takes place and I'm gone from this world. What will be my condition? Look at the embarrassment and shame I will suffer. When I am tempted to go to the cinema or theater, or when I am alone in my house and there is nobody else that is watching, it's only my Allah that is watching. At that time when I am tempted to watch a porn movie, one person writes that before I was in the filthy habit of watching, one day I was tempted again and I brought it and there was nobody in my house. My parents had gone out. But at that time, suddenly that thought came that if I switch on the television, the movie will be on there. And if the angel of death has extracted my soul from my body, then when my parents will walk in, when my friends will walk in, when my neighbors will walk in, then I will not have the strength to get up and switch that off. Then what will be my condition? They said that this is the thought that made us restrain ourselves from haram. So this is the only thing that makes us put a brake on our haram activities, because we do not know when death will come. So what is the sense of accumulating wealth through fraud and all kinds of things when we do not know when it will come? So the little life that we have, make the best of it. And especially in this night, make a lot of dua. There's no hard and fast namazes or ibadat or zikr or tilawat in this night. Lots of things are recorded. Many of it is not authentic. Therefore, there's no hard and fast rule. If you've made your namaz, maghrib and isha with jamaat, and you cannot do much, then make a little bit of zikr, tilawat, 2 rakat, 4 rakat namaz, and go to sleep. And make the fajr namaz with jamaat. And those whom Allah Ta'ala gives some strength, then try and spend as much of the night as possible to ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to change our condition.
Jagna ho jagalo aflaq ke saaye tale,
جاگنا ہو جاگ لو افلاک کے سائے تلے پھر حشر تک سونا پڑے گا قبر کے سائے تلے. Whilst the time is there to stay awake for a little while and seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then stay awake. Because after that you will have to sleep till Qiyamah day in that grave.
آگاہ اپنی موت سے کوئی بشر نہیں, آگاہ اپنی موت سے کوئی بشر نہیں, سامان لاکھ سو برس کا ہے پل کی خبر نہیں, سامان سو برس کا ہے پل کی خبر نہیں. 100 years of stocks we have got, but we don't know tomorrow what's going to happen. We do not even know the next second what's going to happen. But make use of the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given. Make plenty of shukr, eat good food, drink. We don't say that you must become boring, your life must become nothing but just crying. When there's time to cry in your dua and all, cry. After that, be cheerful, be good to the family, be good to the wife, be good to the children. Go and picnic in nice, clear, good spots. Nobody says haram. Halal entertainment in these days is necessary so that it keeps us away from haram entertainment. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Brothers, quickly move this car. ND42008, please go and remove your car. White Bucky. Switch all the light. Brothers, once again, if anybody is tired, if your knees are paining, then I am a person who considers your weakness, because I am suffering from the same weakness. If I sit long, my knees pain. So therefore, if you are wanting to stand up for a minute or so, so that when we're making dua, your mind is in the dua and not in your knees, so you can stand up. Stand up. MashaAllah. Nothing. Allah won't question you on the day of judgment. Before dua, why did you stand up? To straighten your knees. MashaAllah. In fact, Allah Ta'ala will get happy that in dua time you wanted your mind to be in the dua.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا أرحم الراحمين, يا أكرم الأكرمين, يا غياث المستغيثين, يا راحم المساكين. اے میرے پیارے خدا, اے میرے رحیم کریم اللہ, ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دے. یا اللہ, forgive each and every one of us. یا اللہ, forgive each and every one of us. Oh Allah, in this Mubarak night, we sinful servants are seeking from you forgiveness. Oh Allah, you yourself announce from the time of sunset, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anyone seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? Is there any person seeking health that I may give him cure from his sickness? Ya Allah, you keep on proclaiming, is there anyone seeking this or that? Oh my Allah, we are seeking from you forgiveness. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you forgiveness. We are seeking from you sustenance of which is halal. We are seeking from you good health. اے میرے پیارے خدا, ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما. یا اللہ, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, forgive our brothers and sisters, forgive our wives and children, forgive the entire ummah of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. اے میرے رحیم کریم اللہ, you are Kareem, oh my Allah. Kareem is the one who gives without people deserving. Ya Allah, we know we are deserving of punishment. We know we are deserving of severe punishment. But oh Allah, in this Mubarak night, we know that you dearly love forgiveness. Ya Allah, we know that if you are going to give us forgiveness for our sins, then our lives will become peaceful and happy on this earth. Ey mere pyare khuda, ey mere rahim kareem Allah, ey mere sattar ghaffar Allah, ey maaf karne wale Allah, ey bakhshne wale Allah, ey raham karne wale Allah, hum sab ki maghfirat farma de. Oh Allah, open the doors of your maghfirat for us. Open the doors of your mercy for us. Oh Allah, we have gone far away from deen. Oh Allah, we have gone far away from Deen. Ya Allah, those things which were detested by the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, those things which were hated by the Awliya-e-Kiram, Oh Allah, those things which were disliked by Rasul-e-Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all those things we have begun to like. Ay Allah, those things over which they cried, Oh Allah, those things over which they shed tears of nadamat and shame, Ya Allah, those things over which they shed tears of nadamat and shame, the Ahlullah, Oh Allah, today we are indulging in all kinds of sins. Ya Allah, aaj har guna ke andar hum mulawwas hai, lekin mere pyare khuda tu maaf karne wala khuda hai. Ya Allah, the awliya-e-kiram, even after making ibadat, they used to cry. Even after making ibadat, they used to feel that they had not done justice to their ibadat. But oh Allah, today we laugh over our sins. Ya Allah, we laugh over our crimes. We laugh and brag over our fraudulent activities. Ay mere pyare khuda, hum deen se kitne dur nikal chuke, lekin tu hame maaf farma de. Oh Allah, in this Mubarak night, if you are not going to forgive us, then you tell us which other door is there for us which we can tap, which other home is there for us in which we can go and beg. Oh Allah, if a dog is kicked from one butcher, he still can go to another butcher. Oh Allah, if a beggar is chased from one home, he can still go to another home. Lekin mere pyare khuda, mere rahim kareem Allah, agar tu ne hame reject kar diya, if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat from us, if you have to turn away your glance of forgiveness from us, then oh Allah, we have no one else besides you. There is no one else for us besides you. Oh my Allah, you are the only one for us. Everything is in your control. Our sight in your control. Our tongue in your control. Our hands and feet in your control. Our hearts and minds in your control. Ya Allah, our property is in your control. The ground on which we walk is in your control. If you order the earth to shake, oh my Allah, then the forces of the world cannot prevent it from shaking. The mighty powers of the world cannot prevent it from shaking. Ay mere Allah par raham farma. Ya Allah, karam farma. Even if our sins are like the waves of the ocean, if our sins are like the grains of sand on earth, if our sins are more than the trees of the world and the leaves of the trees of the world, if our sins are more than the stars that twinkle in the heavens, oh my Allah, your forgiveness is much, much more than that. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wash away our sins. Ay, mere Allah, hum sab ki maghfirat farma de. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my Allah, you were aware of everything that we were doing. You saw everything that we did. You heard everything that we spoke. There was nothing that was hidden from your sight. Ya Allah, you could have made us blind the moment we saw haram. You could have made us dumb the moment we spoke haram. You could have made us deaf the moment we listened to haram. You could have paralyzed us the moment we touched haram. Oh Allah, you could have caused us to get cancer or paralysis the moment we walked towards haram. Lekin ay mere pyare khuda, you saved us from all those diseases and sicknesses. Ya Allah, tera kitna ihsan hai. Ay mere pyare khuda, hum par raham farma. Ay Allah, if there had been another Allah, he would have destroyed us by now. Ya Allah, tu rahim Allah hai, tu kareem Allah hai, tu hum par raham farma le, hum par karam farma le. Ya Allah, hum sab ko sehat ata farma, afiyat naseeb farma, tandurusti ata farma. Ya Allah, give us all long life, bless us with good health, bless us with prosperity, bless us with happiness and satisfaction, bless us with contentment in our hearts, bless us with plentiful of halal risk and sustenance. Ya Allah, bless us with prosperity and happiness. Ey mere pyare khuda, fill our hearts with shukr and with zuhd, fill our hearts with qanaat. Ya Allah, light up our hearts with the noor of taqwa, light up our hearts with the noor of tilawat, light up our hearts with the noor of zikr. Oh Allah, show us the road that leads to jannat. Ya Allah, show us the road that leads to you, show us the road that leads to your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Allah, do not let us go on the road that leads to hell. Do not let us walk on the road which goes towards hell. Ya Allah, keep us far away from temptations of nafs and shaitan. Ay mere Allah, nafs and shaitan have overpowered us. Ay mere Allah, nafs and shaitan has overpowered us. We do not even have the courage to fight our nafs and shaitan anymore. Ya Allah, make us like lions against nafs and shaitan. Ya Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. Oh my Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. Ya Allah, with your power of
of jazb draw us towards you. Ay mere Allah, teri qudrat e jazb se hum sab ko apna bana le. Ay Allah, tu hamara ban ja. Oh Allah, if you become ours, then everything will be ours. If you become ours, then the kingdoms will be ours. If you become ours, then our children will be ours. If you become ours, then our homes will be ours. If you become ours, then everything will give us comfort. But if you are not ours, then nothing will be ours. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Ey mere pyare khuda, hamara ban ja, hum sab ko apna bana le. Ey Allah, hum gunahon ke andar mulawwas hai. Oh Allah, take us out from the ocean of sins. Oh my Allah, man has made sticks of dynamite, and that little stick of dynamite blows up huge mountains. Oh my Allah, what is there for you to blow up our sins? Ey mere Allah, tere liye koi mushkil nahi hai. Ya Allah, this is a night in which decisions are made. Ey Allah, it is a night in which decisions are made. Ya Allah, when the decision is made for us of our sustenance, then let it be plentiful of halal sustenance. When the decision is made of our health and life, Ya Allah, let it be good health and long life. Ya Allah, when the decision is made of our children, then let our children be of coolness of our eyes. Ey mere Allah, hamare liye jitne bhi tu faisle kare, Ey Allah, hamare liye khair ke faisle farma. Ey Allah, har shar aur fitan se hamari hifazat farma. Har shar aur fitan se hamari hifazat farma. Ya Allah, all around us is nothing but fitnas. We are being lashed by fitnas from our right, from fitnas from our left, fitnas from in front of us, fitnas from behind us. Oh Allah, fitnas are pouring into our homes via the satellite. Ey mere Allah, hum kidhar jaye? Ey Allah, ab to gunah ko bhi hum ibadat samajhne lage. Ey Allah, gunah ko bhi ibadat samajhne lage. Ey Allah, jo ibadat karta hai us par hum naraz hote hain. Ey Allah, balki koi Quran ki tilawat karta hai, when a person is making tilawat of the Quran, oh Allah, we increase the volume of our television sets. Ya Allah, when the person is making zikrullah in our home, when those children of ours who are trying to become pious and righteous, when they are learning the Quran Sharif, we increase the volume of our music. Ey mere Allah, we have got concerts in Madina Tayyiba now, where 30,000 people pack up stadiums to listen to music the whole night. Ey mere Allah, how much of injury and pain we are causing my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Allah, that Nabi of ours who cried so much for us, who teared so much for us, so much of his blood was shed in Taif, so much of his blood was shed in Uhud, so much of his blood was shed in so many other places. Ya Allah, he stood whole night in prayers, and he prayed for the Ummat. Ey Allah, that beloved Nabi who suffered so much for the sake of the Ummat. Ya Allah, when he is informed that the Ummat for whom you shed so much of tears and blood, that Ummat is in the casinos, that Ummat in the wild coast and the sun cities, that Ummat in television programs, that Ummat in cinemas and theaters, and they brag about their cinema activities. Ya Allah, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed of the filthy films that they see and watch, and then they brag about it, and then they brag about their sins, then how much of injury and pain it must be causing him. Allah, the women of the Ummat whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the sheet of haya. Ey Allah, mere pyare Nabi ne auraton ko haya ki chadar di thi. They were not recognized in any way. They had become doormats. They had no share in inheritance. Ey Allah, that beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them a position of dignity and honor. Ya Allah, when he is informed that those same women of your Ummat, today they are completely open and nakedly dressed. Ey Allah, when he is informed that they are scantily dressed, they have got no hijab and no shame left anymore. They dance on the stages of the world and brag about their dancing. Ey mere Allah, mere Nabi ko hum kitni takleef pahuncha rahe hain. Ya Allah, how much of hurt we are causing to my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If on the day of Qiyamah he has to catch our garment and he has to ask us that I shed so much of blood and tears for you when my deen was leaving your home, when my deen was leaving your bazaars and marketplaces, when my deen was leaving your schools and colleges, when my deen was leaving your walimas and nikahs, then at that time not even a frown came on your forehead. Ey Allah, what reply are we going to give to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But oh my Allah, he is rahmatul lil alameen. Ey Allah, hum gunahgaron ko tu bhi maaf farma de, aur Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ko bhi humse khush kar de. Pray Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Do not test us front of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not worthy of being tested, oh my Allah. We have got no good deeds to our credit. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Without any hisab kitab, enters into Jannat. Without any reckoning, enters into Jannat. Ya Allah, so many of our young brothers and sisters left this world. Ya Allah, without expectation of death, they suddenly departed from this world. Ya Allah, so many janazas we carried of fit, healthy young people. Ya Allah, we do not know when the angel of death will strike, where he will strike, and how he will strike. How can we be in adultery when we do not know? How can we be in fornication when we do not know? Oh Allah, what if we are committing fornication and adultery, and the hotel rooms have to collapse over our heads because of an earthquake and a tremor and a shake? Oh my Allah, how will we appear on the day of Qiyamah? Oh my Allah, if we are watching something that's filthy, and if the role of ours has to leave our lives, then what is our condition? Amir Allah, when we do not know when the angel of death will strike, how can we be in cinemas, for that cinema could burn any time? Oh Allah, that cinema could be raised to the ground any time. That cinema, due to an earthquake and a shake-up, could come down. Amir Allah, how could we be in any kind of sin when we do not know when our death will come? Amir Pyare Khuda, tu hame iman wali maut ata farma, barkat wali maut ata farma. Give us a death of barkat, oh my Allah. Ay mere pyare khuda, hamare gharon mein barkat ata farma. Bless us with blessings and barkat in our homes, barkat in our lives, barkat in our businesses, barkat in our children, barkat in everything that you give us. Ya Allah, give us barkat and blessings in everything. Give us the best of this world and the best of the akhirat. Ya Allah, we are human beings. We have got many, many needs in this world. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you the best of this world and the best of the akhirat. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you the best of this world and the best of the akhirat. Ya Allah, hame kisi ka muhtaj mat bana. Ya Allah, bas tere hi hum muhtaj rahe. Bas tere hi samne hum girgidate rahe. Ya Allah, tere hi samne aansu bahate rahe. Tujhse hi hum mangte rahe. Hamari nazar bas tere hi zaat par rahe. Ya Allah, let our sight and gaze be on your treasures alone. Oh Allah, let not our gaze go on anybody's treasures or wealth. Ya Allah, do not distance us from you. Ya Allah, it's an azab if you distance us from you. Ya Allah, how long are we going to walk with dirty, filthy hearts on this earth? Our hearts are filled with malice and greed. Our hearts are filled with pride and arrogance. Our hearts are filled with greed, oh my Allah. Our hearts are filled with pride, oh my Allah. Our hearts are filled with evil lust and desires and passions, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, clean and purify our hearts. We want a purified heart, oh my Allah. Give us the heart that you gave to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. Give us the heart that you gave to Khaja Nizamuddin Ajmeri rahmatullah alayh. Give us the heart that you gave to Khaja Alauddin Kalyari rahmatullah alayh. Ya Allah, give us the heart that you gave to Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. Ya Allah, give us the heart that you gave to the Sahaba-e-Kiram and the Awliya-e-Kiram. Ya Allah, how long are we going to walk on this earth with envy and jealousy, with malice and with greed and with pride? Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to forgive each and every one. Ya Allah, give us a large and an accommodating heart. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. Unite the hearts of sister-in-laws. Unite the hearts of the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Allah, my beloved Nabi left us in one ummah. Oh Allah, we have sliced the ummah into pieces over trivial little issues. Oh, we have sliced the ummah into pieces. Ya Allah, the kuffar and mushrikeen, whatever was left, they destroyed the balance. But oh Allah, we are the ones that have caused so much of destruction. Ya Allah, all the works of deen which are taking place, accept them. Tablighi da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma. Unke gash aur ijtemaat ko qubool farma. Allah, khankao ki mehnat qubool farma. Madaris ki mehnat qubool farma. Masajid ki mehnat qubool farma. Oh Allah, fitnas are entering everywhere. Even in Madina, Tayyiba, in Makkah, Mukarrama, fitnas. Ya Allah, those who are going for umrahs, those who are going for hajj, Ya Allah, protect them from those fitnas. Protect them from those fitnas. Oh Allah, in that Mubarak place, how can we be listening to music? How can we be watching filthy programs on the television screen? And especially in the month of Ramadan, how can we be celebrating the millennium at Arafat and Mina? Ay mere Allah, what kind of fitnas are entering Mubarak places? Ay Allah, celebrations take place there on New Year's Eve. And our South Africans also, Allah, participate in those celebrations. Ay Allah, ab to hume ehsas ata farma. Hum deen se kitne dur ja rahe hai. Tere pyare nabi ki mohabbat khatam ho gayi hai. اے اللہ تیری محبت ختم ہو گئی ہے, لیکن میرے خدا تو غفور الرحیم ہے. او اللہ یو غفور الرحیم, اے اللہ یو ستار العیوب, یو غفار الذنوب, یو ڈیئرلی لو فارگیونس آف دا سنز آف دا سنرز. یا اللہ وی آر سیکنگ فرام یور فارگیونس. وین دا ٹائم آف اور ڈیتھ کمز لیٹ اٹ بی ود ایمان. اے اللہ وین اور جنازہ گوز ٹوورڈز دا گریو یارڈ, یا اللہ لیٹ اس لیو دا پیپل ان اے کرائنگ اسٹیٹ اینڈ لیٹ اس لیو دس ورلڈ ان اے ہیپی اسٹیٹ. اے اللہ ہم جیسے دنیا سے جائے تو ہم ہنستے ہوئے چلے جائے اور لوگوں کو روتے ہوئے چھوڑ جائے. ایسا نہ ہو کہ لوگ ہنسے کہ ہم چلے گئے اور ہم روتے ہوئے جائے. اے اللہ لیٹ اٹ ناٹ بی دیٹ پیپل لاف اینڈ دے سیلیبریٹ دیٹ وی لیفٹ دا ورلڈ. او اللہ وین وی لیو دا ورلڈ لیٹ پیپل کرائی اینڈ وی لیو دس ورلڈ ان اے اسٹیٹ آف ہیپینس. وی لیو دا ورلڈ ان اے اسٹیٹ آف ہیپینس ٹو میٹ یو, بیکاز دیر از نو ادر وے آف میٹنگ یو. او مائی اللہ, دس ورلڈ از نتھنگ بٹ اے ٹیمپرری پیریڈ آف لائف. یا اللہ وی ہیو ٹو کراس دس برج یا اللہ, اینڈ دیٹ از دا اونلی برج دیٹ can take us across. Ya Allah, to meet you, ay mere Allah. Ya Allah, tu hume aisi halat mein maut de, tu hum se razi, hum tujh se razi. Ya Allah, all the duas of goodness that my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made for us, all the duas of goodness that he made for us, Ya Allah, bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness. Bless our wives and children with that goodness. Bless the entire ummat with that goodness. And from all the fitnas and corruption and mischief that he asked for protection, Ya Allah, protect us. Protect our wives and children. Protect the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our children who are writing examinations, Ya Allah, give them success in the examinations. Make them assets for our communities. Protect and safeguard them from all the fitnas at the institution. Protect them from drugs and drink and wine and women. Ey mere Allah, ab to hamare chote chote bachche bhi sharab peete hain. Ya Allah, even our little children are taking drugs and intoxicants. Even our little children are going to gambling dens. Even our little children are committing fornication. Ey mere Allah, musalmano ke no جوان, اے اللہ ہدایت عطا فرما. اے اللہ ان کو اسلام کے لیے ایک شان عطا فرما. اے اللہ ان کو اسلام کے لیے قبول فرما. ان کو مجاہدین بنا, تیرے دین کے لیے محنت کرنے والے بنا, ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا. میرے پیارے نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے, اے میرے پیارے خدا, جتنی دعائیں مانگی ہمارے لیے قبول فرما. اے اللہ, جس کا بھی ہم پر احسان ہے تیری شائن شان, ان کو جزائے خیر عطا فرما. دنیا میں بھی ان کو بھلائی عطا فرما, آخرت کے اندر بھی بھلائی عطا فرما. یا اللہ, رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے حجت الوداع کے اندر حجر اسود کو چوم کر کے جو باغا تھا, میرے پیارے نبی نے رکن یبانی چھو کر کے جو باغا تھا, my beloved نبی بن میزاب رحمت, what he cried and begged, یا اللہ, in the حتیم how much he teared, یا اللہ, at the ملتزم for so long he stayed attached, who did he cry for, oh my Allah. میرے پیارے نبی نے ملتزم سے چمٹ کر کے جو مانگا تھا, میرے پیارے نبی نے مقام ابراہیم کے پیچھے جو مانگا تھا, زمزم پی کر جو مانگا تھا, صفا اور مروہ کی سیڑھیوں پر جو مانگا تھا, اے میرے اللہ, مینا کے اندر جو مانگا, اینڈ اسپیشلی ان عرفات, فرام ظہر ٹل مغرب, دیٹ سن لیس معصوم نبی, he shed so much of tears that his احرام was wet with his tears, the ground was wet with his tears, the animal on which he stood was wet with his tears. Ay Allah, we did not appreciate those tears of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ab to hum par raham farma le. And from all the fitnas and corruption that he asked for protection, Ya Allah, protect us, our wives and children, and the entire ummah. Hamari dua'o ko huzur-e paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke sadqe mein qubool farma. Ay Allah, we are not worthy of acceptance, but accept it. We get tired of asking, oh my Allah. But you do not get tired of giving, oh my Allah. What we have asked, also give it to us. And what we haven't asked, also give it to us. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allah, all those who are gathered here, they have got so much of desires in their hearts. All those desires which are in conformity with deen and sharia and which are pleasing to you. Ya Allah, with your fazal and your ihsan, fulfill all their good desires. Ay Allah, unki nek murado ko pura kar de. Jo unke bachche bhatak gaye hai, unko phir jod de. Ay Allah, those daughters for whom they are concerned, Ya Allah, give them good life partners. And those young boys who haven't got marriage partners as yet, Ya Allah, bless them also with such marriage partners who will be an assistant to their deen. Ya Allah, sabko nek aur ek bana de. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.